Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Pei Aleph. We will begin on Daf Pei Amud Beis at the Gemara Ibayluhu. As we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, our Mishnah discussed a Shemeres Yavam, a woman whose husband passed away, and then she stands for Yibam to her brother-in-law, and now she passed away while she was a Shemeres Yavam. And the Mishnah discussed that there are really three types of assets that we have to determine their status. One was the ksuba, that a husband owes a wife. The other is the nechsei melug. And the other was the nechsei tzoyim barzel. As we discussed in the previous Mishnah, machlokes beishan beishilul, exactly what is the ultimate determination of each one of these types of assets. Ask the Gemara. Iboilu, Shemeres Yavim Shemesa, the Shemeres Yavim who passed away. Mi kovra, who's responsible for the burial expenses? Do we say Yarshi Habal Kavrila, that her Yavim, who's the inheritor of her husband, has that responsibility? The Koryasi Ksuba. And we're first going to explain the Gemara, as Rashi explains the Gemara. As we said in the Mishnah, that if she dies as a Shomeres Yavam, the Yavam will not be responsible to pay the Ksuba to her heirs, and therefore, for that benefit that he's receiving, he should have to pay for a funeral cost, the Koyarsi Ksuba. This Yavam is inheriting the ksuba. Or it could be argued, says the Gemara, Adam Yarshi Av Kavrila, her Yarshim should have to pay for the Levaya, the Kayarsi HaNechnosim HaNechnosim HaYotzer Ima. As we also learned in the Mishnah, the Nechsi Melug that she owns now will become her Yarshims, and the fact that they own the Nechsi Melug, that's why they should be responsible for the burial. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara in the most simple way. The Yavam is receiving the Ksuba, and perhaps that's why he should have to pay for the funeral. Her Yarshim are receiving the Nechsei Melug, and that's why perhaps they should be responsible for the funeral cost. Tosfos asks, why is this woman different than any Arusa? We know that Halacha is that if an Arusa passes away, her husband, the Arus, doesn't have to pay for the funeral. So why should this? Because they never came to Nisuin. So this woman who never came to Nisuin with this Yavam should be the same as an Arusa. So Taish says the situations are very different. The woman who was an Arusa never consummated her relationship with her husband. And specifically, if we hold that an Arus doesn't have to pay Ksuva, that's why he doesn't have to pay for the Levaya. On the other hand, this woman was married. And now when she's if she would have had Yibam, so the Mana Masayim, he would be obligated, the Ksubi would be obligated. So that becomes, so to speak, something that she's bringing into the marriage. And in exchange for that, perhaps he should have to pay for the funeral cost. The Rishonim, and again, we explained the Gemara in a very simple way, and we're going to continue learning the Gemara that way. That's the way Rashi teaches us the Gemara. However, the Rishonim add a number of wrinkles into the situation to sort of complicate the Shaila. One Shaila that the Shita discusses, what will be the halacha, he says, if this woman has no Nechsei Melug? Not every woman has Nechsei Melug. And she has no Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. So the only thing that she is left with when she dies is the Ksuba that the Yavam doesn't have to pay. So the Shita Mekubetzes wants to suggest that the Gemara would have no Shaila under those circumstances, that the Yavam would have to pay for the funeral. Because what's the Gemara's consideration that her Yashim are also benefiting, so to speak, from a death, that they're getting the Nechsei Melug? But if there are no Nechsei Melug, then there's nothing to discuss. Now the Rishonim, Tosfos mentions this more than once, discusses that in our Mishnah, it was somewhat ambiguous, what is the status of the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel? Did the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel go to the Yavam? Did the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel go to her Yarshim? And Tosfos and other Rishonim want to connect the Gemara's Shaila to that, and want to say that the Gemara's Shaila is only going according to the Man D'Amar, that the Yavam gets the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzal, which would be all the more reason that he should be responsible to pay for the Levaya. But if Har Yoshim get the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzal, then they should be more responsible for the Levaya. Other Rishonim seem to ignore the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzal, as the Gemara seems to, if we read the Gemara simply, doesn't take the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzal factor into consideration, because the Gemara seems to be talking only about the Ksuba and the Nechsei Milud. There's another pshat that the Shita wants to suggest, again, just mentioning these pshatim, and we're not going to learn with these pshatim, that the Gemara's question really has three options. One option is that the Yavim should pay for the Levaya. Another option is that Har Yoshim should pay for the Levaya. And actually, there's a third option that maybe they should share the cost. But again, we're going to learn the Gemara, as I said, like Rashi learns it, very simply. The Yavam certainly is not responsible to pay the Ksuba when she dies, and because of that, perhaps that should obligate him to pay for the Levaya. On the other hand, Har Yoshim get the Nechsei Milud, and that's why the Gemara is considering that they should have to pay for the Levaya. What is the Halacha? Omer Amram, Toshma, the Tanya, Shemeres Yavim Shemesa, a Shemeres Yavim that passes away, Yoshel Yoshe Ksubasa, the Yavim who now receives the Ksuba, he is the one, the Chayavim B'Kfurasa. Omer Abaya, and Abaya corroborates this opinion. Afanan Namitinina, we learned in Abraisa, Amon HaNizonis M'Nechsei Yisamim, we spoke about this Halacha, that part of the stipulations of the Ksuba are that where the husband writes that if the wife will survive him, his yoshim have to support her. However, umasi deshalahen, she has to turn over her wages to them. However, when she passes away, enchayav mikvrasa, they don't have to pay for her levaya. Why don't they have to pay for her levaya? Because her yoshim will collect the ksuba. And since Har Yoshim will collect the Ksuba, they will have to be responsible to pay for the Levaya. Continues the Braisa, and this is Abaya's Raya. Yosher Yoshe Ksubasa, Chayavim Krasa. So Abaya picks up on the words Yosheha Yoshe Ksubasa. It seems to be that there are two groups of Yoshim, and the Braisa is teaching us that the ones who are Yoshe Ksubasa are the ones that are responsible for the Levaya. Who's the Almona that has two groups of Yarshim? Have a minus, the Shemeres Yavam. The Shemeres Yavam Vaal Mishnah. That her Yavam Yarshins her partially, he gets the Ksuba. And her family Yarshins her partially, because they're the ones that get the Nechsei Milud. And who's the Braisa say is responsible for the Levaya? The one that gets the benefit of the Ksuba, which is the Yavam. And Tosfos makes an interesting observation. He says the first part of this Braisa is clearly not discussing a Shemeres Yavam. Because the first part of the Braisa speaks about that the husband left over Yisoyimim. The definition of a person who's a Shemeres Yavam means that the husband didn't leave over any Yisoyimim. So Taisa says the Raya is not from the first part of the Braisa. The Raya is from the Braisa's redundancy of saying Yosheha Yoshe Ksubasa. That seems to speak about a different situation, a woman that has two groups of Yarshim, and teaching us the Yavam, who is the Yairish of the Ksuba, is going to be the individual who has to pay for the Levaya. That's Abaya's Psak. Omer Rava. Rava challenges Abaya. Vilema, let the Yavam say, Och ani Yairish, I'm inheriting my brother, Ishtay and Akiver. And the way most Rishonim explain is that the person is saying, that the Yavam is saying, I only want the benefits and not the disadvantages. And therefore, yes, I am the Yerush of my brother's estate, but that doesn't obligate me to bury her. And Taisu says, we find such a concept in Halacha. He says, we all know that Parshas Mishpatim, Masechet Baba Metzia, discusses the four Shomrim, the different types of people that or have someone else's articles in their possession. And the Gemara discusses a shoyel is somebody who borrowed. That's always the most serious shomer. The halacha is, a shoyel is responsible for Oinsim. Even if there was an accident, the Shor is responsible. Says the Gemara Masecht Bava Metzia, if someone's father borrowed a parah, borrowed a cow from someone else, and then the father passed away in the middle of the term of the rent of the borrowing. So the halacha, the Gemara says, very interesting. On one hand, the person who lent the parah can't say, I lent it to your father, I didn't lend it to you, the children, and you have to return it, unless it's clearly stipulated in the contract. And therefore, they could continue using it until the end of the term. On the other hand, the children say, we weren't the direct sholim, and therefore we're not obligated for einsim. Similarly here, the brother says, I want the benefit of my brother. That means my brother, I am his yairish. I want all of his assets, but I don't want his responsibilities of bearing his wife. Ask the ritva. It's very difficult to understand. What is the concept of a yavam? We're going to discuss this a little more, mitzvah, later in the shir. The concept of a yavam is that he assumes the place of his brother. His brother would have to bury his wife. We've learned that so many times in this mesechta. So why should he, who's assuming the position, substituting his brother, should be not obligated? So the Ritva answers very simply. The Ritva says, when is a brother obligated, when is a husband obligated to bury his wife? If the wife predeceases him. This is not a situation where the wife predeceased the brother. The brother predeceased the husband predeceased. This is not a situation. When does a husband have to bury his wife? When he died after his wife. When she died before him. Here she didn't die before him. He died before her. So the obligation that exists on every husband to bury his wife doesn't exist here. What do we want to do? Put it on the brother? The brother says, I never agreed to that obligation. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya says, the Bishim Debon Olam Mishnei Tzadim. We tell the Yavam, you can't have the best of both worlds. Im Ochiv Yairish, if you want to assume the role of your brother and inherit all of his assets, Yik Persishtai. So you have to take the difficulty too and pay for the Levaya. Imeina Karasishtai, you don't want to be in your brother's place? Fine. So let Yitain Ksubasa pay the ksuba to Har Yarshim, and they'll pay for the Levaya. Amalei, so Rava responds to Abaya, Hachi Kamina. This is what I meant to say. Ach and the Yairish, es ishtoi en a kaiver. I, as I said before, as Rava said before, I'm only taking over my brother's assets, not his responsibilities. I, the imishum ksuba, I was saying the fact that I'm getting the ksuba, this is a very fundamental concept. There's a shaila, at what point is the ksuba obligation become? At what point is the obligation of the ksuba? If we say the obligation of the ksuba is from when the first husband dies, even though the yavam is alive, and even though he's going to assume that responsibility, but she already has that obligation, so now, she has the choiv, he has the obligation to pay the ksuba. When she dies before Yibam, and he doesn't pay the ksuba, so in exchange for that, he has to do the levaya. But that's only if we say that she already had the obligation to pay the ksuba was in existence to her. Again, to put that in halachic terms, that's called nitna ksuba ligvus mechayim. That even though she's alive and a yavam is alive, the obligation already exists. If we follow that line of reasoning, it would be very well understood why the yavam should have to pay for the levaya. Why? Because the obligation was there. Now when she dies and she and her yorshim are deprived of that money, the least that we owe her is that yavam should have to pay for the levaya. However, argues the Gemara, there's a mandamah that says lo nitna ksuba ligvus mechayim, that the obligation could never begin while she's alive. If that obligation doesn't begin while she's alive, so then she wasn't deprived of anything. You could only be deprived of something you're owed. But if we say that she wasn't ever owed that money, then she's not being deprived. Ask the Gemara. Man shamek le'i de'islei medrash ksuba. Says the Gemara, and there's a lot that you have to read into this Gemara. Who is the man d'amah that says that they can never have a woman that's obligated, that the obligation to give it a ksuba is while she's alive? That is Beis Shammai. Where do we see it in Beis Shammai? There's an interesting Gemara we learned in Masechta Yevamos. If we recall, when we learned Masechta Yevamos, the Gemara spent a lot of time discussing a special kula. That even though we know normally we need two edim, there's a special kula that mishimiguna kilubar rabbana, and if a woman husband is missing, we don't need two edim to come say that her husband is dead. We rely on one aid. Mishimiguna kilubar rabbana. We also explained, that's not the subject of today's shir, isha daika mitzvah, all of these concepts we spent a lot of time on. So now let's discuss the situation. We have a woman who's an eid echad comes and says her husband died. We accept that testimony. Since we accept that testimony, what's the halacha? She's allowed to go marry another man. Is she entitled to ksuba from the estate of her first husband? Beis Hillel says no. Yes, there's a special din of Mishimiguna Kilba Rabbanan that's only as far as laying out to get remarried. But to take money from the estate of her first husband that it hasn't been established through two witnesses that he's dead, we can't take. Beis Shammai says we have to look at the words of the ksuba. What did the words of the ksuba say? Mishitinosil acher. When you will be allowed to marry another person, titlich l'ksuba, you'll be entitled to your ksuba. So Beis Shammai says these two concepts travel together. If we're allowing her to marry another man, we must give her a ksuba. You can't separate it. So Beis Shammai follows the wording of the ksuba. And she's only entitled to the ksuba when she's allowed to marry a second man. But Beis Hillel doesn't follow that. And according to Beis Hillel, even before that, she could collect the ksuba the moment her husband dies, even though she's oymed le'ibam. So what the Gemara is suggesting now is that Abaye, who's saying that we're not depriving her of her ksuba, follows the opinion of Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara, even if you follow, according to Beis Hillel, we certainly don't understand Abaye, because according to Beis Hillel, nit ksuba legis v'chayim, she was entitled to a ksuba, and now when the yavam will not have to pay it to her estate, at least he should pay for the levaya. But the Gemara is suggesting that according to Beis Shammai, who follows the wording of the ksuba, and she's not entitled to the ksuba as long as she's alive, perhaps that's what Abaye is explaining, why the Yavam is not really receiving ksuba, because he's not depriving her of anything. She was never owed that. So the Gemara doesn't work even according to Beis Shammai. Because Beis Shammai, v'shmin eloim Beis Shammai, domishtar oimel ligvois pigovidomi. Beis Shammai has another chiddush. Beis Shammai says that if a very interesting rule, it could have interesting tax ramifications. According to Beis Shammai, let's say I have a receivable. I have a shtar that you owe me money. I didn't collect it. I hope I'll collect it. I may never collect it. Beis Shammai says it's considered assets that you own already. So according to Beis Shammai, every woman has a ksuba. And that's a shtar or meligvot. It's a shtar that may be collected. It's a receivable. So according to Beis Shammai, it's kegavi dami. So maybe what the Gemara's question now is, again, we have to learn this into the Gemara, is no matter if we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel of Nitna Ksuba Ligus Mechaim, or we follow the opinion of Beis Shammai that Shtar Oyim Ligus Kegavi Domi, she was already owed that Ksuba. Now when the Yavam receives that Ksuba and her estate is deprived of it, the least he should have to do is pay for the Levaya. I saw a very interesting Shaila. If we hold Shtar Oyim Ligus Kegavi Domi, that if I have a Shtar that's a receivable that you owe me the money, the halacha looks at it as if I already have that money. We know that in the Shemitah year, everybody's very busy with writing a prosbul, because Shemitah is Meshamet all chayvis. Shemitah cancels all debts. But a shtar I'm a ligvus kegavi dami, so it's already I collected it. A debt means that I don't have it. They will say kegavi dami, there's nothing to cancel. It's already by me. Just there's a physical problem that I have to put it into my pocket. So where's the concept of Shemitah's ksafim? So the Rishonim discussed the Shaila, and the Rishonim answer that according to the man, the Amid that holds, Shtar Oyim Eligvus Kegavi Dami, the only place that would be relevant to say Shemitah's Ksofim is in a Shtar that doesn't have a Chrayas, where there is no lien on all my assets. But indeed, a shtar that has on it a lien on all my assets, the halacha would be that there's no issue of shemitas ksafim. There would no need for a prosbol. Says the Gemara, where do we see that Beis Shammai holds that a ksuba falls under the category of a shtar oimed ligvos? That nan neisu baleim atchalei shasu. We know that halacha is that a soita, that a woman that's identified to be a passable woman that had adulterous relations, her husband brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, and we give it to Mei Soita to drink to verify what is her status. What would be the halacha, says the Mishnah Masechta Soita, if her husband passed away before we actually gave her the water to drink? And as we're going to learn in a moment, she only could drink the Mei Soita if her husband's still alive. So now what do we have? We have a woman who was married to a man, accused of being a Soita, and before we could actually give it a Mei Soita, her husband passes away. The Shammai says that they're entitled to get the ksuba. Or they should drink the Mei Soita, or they should get the ksuba. Ask the Gemara immediately on Beisel, Oy Shaisis, how do we offer an option of drinking the Mei Soita? The Torah said that the man has to bring his wife. For Lekan, the husband died. Ella says, since they can't drink, they can't take the ksuba. Beshamai agrees that drinking the Mei Soita is not an option here. The husband is no longer alive, but she gets the ksuba. Vamai asked the Gemara, why is she entitled to the ksuba? Sveikahu, she's a suffolk if she's entitled. Because we have a suffolk, Zadnoi, if she had this adulterous relationship, and she's not entitled to the ksuba. Suffolk Lezanoi, maybe she didn't have this relationship. So why is Beis Shammai so quick to give her a ksuba? How could we ka'asi suffolk or maitzim dei vadai? How could a suffolk, if she did this nus or not, allow us to take money out of the estate of the husband? Must be because Savri Beis Shammai shtar oimed ligvos kegavi dami. That the shtar oimed ligvos is kegavi dami, and therefore she already has the ksuba. And therefore, even though the husband died, she is the one holding on to the money, not the deceased husband. So I saw that flaw asks a fundamental question on Beis Hillel. Let's review the situation that Beis Hillel addresses. The woman is a soita, her husband passed away. Beis Hillel says she can't get a ksuba because we don't know if she was mezana and she's not entitled to ksuba or she wasn't. Why don't we say, ask the haflah, bari v'shema, bari odif. She's claiming she's innocent. She's a bari. Her husband made a claim that she wasn't. But isn't a bari, her certain claim, supersede her, his shema claim? And therefore the halacha should be that she's entitled to the ksuba. So the achrayim all answer. The achrayim answer that the halacha is that a soita is not to be viewed as a woman who is a suffolk, but a soita is a new category in halacha. We have a category that the halacha identifies as a soita. And a woman in that category, says Beis Hillel, even though she's saying bari, she's claiming with certainty her innocence, the Torah deprived her of a ksuba. Because they don't hold shtaroi meligvus kegavi dami, and a soita is not a woman who's entitled to a ksuba. But now we go back to Beis Hillel. V'ha b'irin k'shtenosil acha titli masha kosvulchi. So now the Gemara asks, Beis Hillel is saying, that's why she learns the Gemara. Beis Hillel is saying, nitn v'ksuba ligvus m'chayim. It's nitn v'ksuba ligvus m'chayim, that means she's already entitled to the ksuba. And since she's entitled to the ksuba, when the yavim gets it, and she, or by extension her estate, doesn't get it, she's being deprived of something. And since she's being deprived of something, the halacha is he should have to bury her. Ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that she's entitled to the ksuba? How can we suggest that she's entitled to the ksuba? Let's read the words of the ksuba. What does it say in the ksuba? Only when the woman can marry any man that she chooses. Could this woman marry any man that she chooses? The answer is no. She can't marry Acher. She's tied to her yavam. So how can we say that she's owed her ksuba? Answers the Gemara, The halacha is says to us, a very bechidish, that even though she's obligated to marry only her yavam, that's the din of yibum, it's considered like he's an acher. He's not considered her husband. He's not considered somebody she's obligated to. It's like marrying a man from the street. And if she's allowed to marry a man from the street, what's the halacha? She's entitled to the ksuba. Now when she doesn't get it, so in exchange, she has to bury her. So I'd like to make two interesting ha'aras that I saw. One ha'ara is that it's from Rabbi Yosef Engel, and that's from the Raisam. He explains the Havamin and the Maskana of the Gemara in a beautiful way. It's a shaila that we discussed a number of times in Masechta Yevamos. The Achrayim try to understand, how do we view the marriage of a Yavam to Yavam? Do we say it's a continuation of the husband's marriage? Or do we say that it's a new marriage that the Torah mandated? Says the Rav Yosef Engel, that's the Havamin and the Maskar and the Gemara. In the Havamin of the Gemara assumed that the brother is just continuing his brother's marriage. So she wasn't allowed to marry an Acher. Says the Gemara and the Maskana, the Yavam is not a continuation of the previous marriage. It's a new marriage that's mandated by the Torah. And therefore, he's considered Acher. Now there's a very interesting Shaila from Chaim Briska. Rav Chaim Briska says, and Rabbi Aaron Kotel discusses this, all the Achronim discuss this. We have a very fundamental difficulty understanding the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that since when a husband dies, she's entitled to the ksuba, and therefore now when she dies, the Yavam will keep the ksuba, she's being deprived of something that she was owed. Asks Rav Chaim Briska, halach lemaisa. Let's talk in a regular situation. A husband dies, we have this woman. And she doesn't die. She, Baruch Hashem, should be alive and well. And she goes and marries the Yavam. Is she able to collect the ksuba? No. So how can we say she's entitled to the ksuba? So Chaim Briska, in the typical Briska derech, says there are two concepts. He says there's a concept of a chayv, and there's a concept of piroim. Which means as follows, he says, I could owe you something, but I don't have to pay it to you. A debt and payment of a debt are two separate concepts in halacha. So he says, as long as the husband is alive, there isn't even a debt. There's no chayv. A husband and wife are Baruch Hashem married. There is no chayv of the ksuba. They're Baruch Hashem happily married. The moment the husband dies, he says, Peshat in Al Gemara, and if Aaron explains it a little more, the chayv comes into existence. That doesn't mean she could collect the chayv. The collection depends on other factors. That's why he says it's considered that she's deprived of something because the chayv came into existence the moment her husband died. So the Gemara continues with this debate between Rav and Abaya. Shalach le Rav al Abaya. Rav is still challenging Abaya's position, and he sent a message beyad Rav Shmaya Bazera. Omin nitna ksuba ligvis mechaim. How can we say that as soon as the husband dies, she's already entitled to the ksuba, even though she's connected to the yavam? Vatanya Rab Abba Omer, Rab Abba tells us in a braisa, shalti simchus hayroitz shimcha ben nechsei achiv. Let's say a yavam inherits his brother, and the way to understand the braisa is the brother who passed away was a very wealthy man. He left over a tremendous estate. The ksuba, let's say for the purpose of this conversation, is $10,000. So he is now, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, tied. He can't do any business with any of the assets that his brother left over. Because all of the assets, as we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, are designated for her ksuba. So he's very tied. This Yavam wants to be able to do business with all of these assets. Ketzurois, what should he do? In Kainhu, if the Yavam is a Kain, so he doesn't have an option of divorcing his wife, of taking the Yavama, and then divorcing her, and then taking her back, because the moment he divorces her, she's a Grusha. A Kain's not a married Grusha. Yasa Suda V'yafayis. He should take her out for a nice dinner, and try to convince her, listen, I'm going to designate amount of money for your ksuba, and let me be able to do business with the rest. Im Yisrael hu, if he's Yisrael, where he does have the option of divorcing her, what he should do is megarsh beget, divorce her, end that marriage, v'yachzer. So there's a number of points that the Mefarshim explain. First of all, the Pnei Yeshua explains, why doesn't the husband, the Yisrael, have to go through the bother of a get? Why doesn't he do what the Kayin does? Why doesn't he just try to be Mephayasar? So the Pnei Yeshua and the Afla all say that many times when a husband tries to get his wife to agree something, she agrees because she's nice. She doesn't want to argue with her husband, but she doesn't really mean it. So that's why Pius is not really an optimal approach. A Kayin, we have no other option, so we have to do that. A Yisrael, where we have the option of writing a get and then being Mephayis, that's a better option. Now we go a step further. Rabbi Chanan explains the Kaibet Shurim. When he writes the get, he doesn't pay a ksuba. He immediately will remarry her on the basis of the old ksuba. Rashi and the Rishayim also discuss, how will it work here? Do we say he writes the get, then goes and does business with all of his brother's assets, and then takes her back? He has this time period, this interval. Or Rashi says, the Ran disagrees with Rashi, that as long as he remarries her, so then they're a regular couple. And a regular couple, we don't have this halacha that we learned in the previous Mishnah, that all of the money is designated for the ksuba and is tied up. And therefore, even if he takes her back immediately, now they're a regular husband and wife, where he isn't locked into this obligation that he can't touch any of the assets that are all obligated to the ksuba. Sim Yisrael hu, begarish beget v'yachzer. Ask the Gemara, v'isak adatach, nitnik ksuba ligvus mechayim. Ask the Gemara, if the moment her husband dies, the obligation is there, so why should we have to go through the get? Niyachla shik suba, fasha Lisbon. He owes her the money, and the halacha is that if someone owes someone else money, he could pay it at any time. So why don't we just say, the brother died, according to Beis Hillel was saying, nitna ksuba ligvis mechayim, so she's owed this money, let the Yavin pay her that obligation, and therefore she should be able, and then he should be able to have the rest of the money to do business with. So the Ran says a very interesting pshat in this Gemara. The Ran says, what is the basis of this Gemara? The basis of this Gemara, and that it goes very well with the Reb Chaim that we said a few moments ago, is that, let's say I owe you money, and I have a due date of paying the money whenever, but I have the money now, and I don't like to owe money. I go and I give you the money today. So the halacha is, I'm allowed to. So he's saying that's the same pshat in our Gemara. If the moment her husband died, she's owed the ksuba, why can't he pay her out? Says the Ran, and the Shulchan Aruch says this lahalacha, and it's very relevant to tax law. Let's say I owe you money, and the date of the money that I owe you is next year. And the example that I just gave, but I have the money today and I want to pay you back. But for your tax purposes, it's worth it to you that I should only pay it to you next year. You don't want to have, it doesn't work for you. The halacha is that even though I already want to pay you earlier, you could say, no, I don't want to take payment until the time the money is due. Because the due date is not a due date, it's a due date that has to be good for both of us. So the Gemara's question here is, if he owes her the money, why can't he go and give it to her if she doesn't have a problem with it? Says the Gemara, if that's your line of reasoning, why don't we ask a kasha from our Mishnah? It said in our Mishnah, the Yavim has no right to say, you know what, here's the money that I'm designating for the ksuba. So we already see from the Mishnah that a husband can't say that to a wife. So why are we bringing a brice with Rabbi Abba? Why don't you ask the kasha from the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, from the Ishna, it's not a kasha. Because Hotzim Eitzah Toivah Kamashlan. The Mishnah could be explained in the following manner. The Mishnah could be explained that the Mishnah is telling us that a wife doesn't want that the money should be designated for a ksuba. Why doesn't a wife want the money to be designated ksuba? Then they didn't have the FDIC. So let's say money is put into the bank, and the bank goes bankrupt, so that money is lost. We'll have to put up a new ksuba. That's why I could say it's pshat in the Mishnah. And I'll prove to you, says the Gemara, that's the way to understand the Mishnah. Because it says in the Mishnah, a regular husband and wife, not a yavam, yavamah. I'm designating money for your ksuba. Rather, the halacha is kol nechasim achroyim l'ksubas ishtai. Is the halacha that a husband can't do business with his assets? We explained in the Mishnah that a yavam has this restriction, not a husband. Ella, why can't the husband just put up a certain amount of money for the ksuba? It's time to come on. The Mishnah is teaching us that if you put up money for the ksuba, that money may get lost and you'll have to write a new ksuba. Hakonami, the Mishnah could be argued is only an eitz tayv k'mashmon. Elder of Abba Kasha, but Rabbi Abba is difficult to understand. Why, if the ksuba is already due, as Rabbi Chaim taught us, nit the ksuba l'gvus mechayim, so the chayv is already there. Why do we have to go through the process of a get? Just designate money for the ksuba and finished. And must be then loy nit the ksuba l'gvus mechayim. Now, asks the Ritva, why don't we say in Rababa the same thing we said in the Mishnah, Eitzah Taiva? That the Mishnah, the Rababa is giving us a good Eitzah. Don't designate money for Ksuba because that money may get lost and you'll have to write a new Ksuba. Says Ritva, a beautiful Vart. In the Mishnah, we're not talking about a get. So the Mishnah is telling us a good Eitzah, don't write a Ksuba. What's Rababa telling us? The only option Rababa came up with is a divorce. Says the Gemara, the Ritva explains the Gemara. We don't have a perfect option. We have one option of designating money, which comes with the risk of the money getting lost and a new ksuba needing to be written. What's the other option? Rabab's option, writing a get. Writing a get is never a pleasant option. So just because of the outside concern that the money is going to get lost, we should write a get? So what must be pshat and Rababa? That the money isn't owned yet. So how could you say nitna ksuba l'gus b'chayim? Says the Gemara, loy kasha, shem eva. Answers the Gemara, really, nitna ksuba l'gus b'chayim. And therefore, theoretically, the money could be put up for that debt. But what's pshat here? If a wife sees, if this yavama sees that the yavama is putting up the money, what's she going to think? He's thinking of divorcing me. A husband and wife that are happily married, are they thinking about the, is the husband thinking about the ksuba debt? He doesn't think about it because he's never going to think, never owed the money. How's this wife going to look at it? If he says, you know what, I'm designating the money for the ksuba. She's not going to think, she doesn't come to the Daf Yomi Shir, to think that he really just wants to free up the rest of his assets. He's going to think because he's thinking of a divorce and he's preparing the payment. That's why the halacha is that he shouldn't do it. But truly, nitna ksuba l'gvus mechayim. Now, says Taisus, we don't have to anymore learn pshat in our Mishnah, says Taisus, that the reason the Mishnah says that a husband shouldn't designate money is because eitz taiva, because we're afraid that that money is going to get lost. Now we could say that pshat in the Mishnah is also Mishnah Eva, that every couple, not just the Yavam and Yavama, should not, a husband should not go tell his wife, I'm designating money for the Ksuba, because that will lead to her the wife being very concerned. Says the Gemara, who gave the Nafla Yavama B'Pavadisa? There was a man that his wife, who his brother died, and a yavam, and she felt him for yibam. Now, we've explained many times. The halacha is, if Reuven dies, and he dies without children, and he leaves over a number of brothers, and one of the brothers does yibam. So the halacha is that the brother who does the yibam takes over the entire estate of the deceased brother. So now we had Reuven passing away, and Shimon was going to do Yibam. And Levi says, if Shimon doesn't do Yibam, we all share in his estate. We're all Reuven's Yarshim. If Shimon's going to do Yibam, he's going to get all the estate of Reuven. So he knows that the Gemara taught us in Masechta Yevamos, that if any of the brothers give the Yevama a get, she's no longer a candidate for Yibam. So Levi, being a smart man, wants to give this Almana a get, so that Shimon no longer should be able to do Yibam, and that he could get a share of his deceased brother's estate. Boy achva lemifsla begitimina. So the brother who wants to do yibum tells his brother, "Amalei my datach mishum nichse. You don't want to lose a share in our deceased brother's estate. Don't worry. Even though I'm going to do the yibum, and even though halachically I'm entitled to the entire estate, I'll be a nice guy. I'll divide the estate with you." Amr Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, "Kivin the Amr Rabbanan. Since we're learning that the halach is loy Lisbon, that all of the estate that the yavam gets, he can't do any business with, as we learned in the previous Gemara, that all of the money that he get, he can't do any business with, because it's all designated for the ksuba. Afagav the zavin loyhava zvina zvina. Even though they made this deal amongst themselves, it's a meaningless deal, because he's not able to sell, so he can't make a deal. Why is the deal not legitimate? So there's two approaches in the achroinim that I saw. One approach that I saw is, everything that the Torah tells us that we shouldn't do, even if we do it, is meaningless. So since the Torah tells us, the Chazal tells us, the Mishnah taught us, that this Yavam is unable to do commerce with this estate that he yarshins, it's all designated to the Ksuba, he's not able to do deals with his brother over that money. Many Mefarshim take exception with that pshat, because they say that even though the Gemara Masech, the Tumur says, Kol Nusadam Rachman Alay Savid, Yavad Loi Mahani, that's only by something that's awesome with the Raisa. Here we're dealing with the Rabbonans, there we don't have that concept. So they take the approach that once Chazal said that he should not be able to do business with this estate, it falls under the category of Hefker, Bezen, Hefker, and even if he tries to do, it's meaningless. So I saw that the Taz asks a very interesting shaila. If the halacha is that Kol Nusadam Rachman Alay Savid, Yavad Loi Mahani, we know on Shabbos we're not allowed to do business. We're not allowed to buy and sell on Shabbos. So what will be if a Jew does business on Shabbos? The sale should be void. It should be a meaningless sale, because the Torah says, the Chazal told us not to do commerce on Shabbos. So according to the man, the Omer, that says that it's only if it's something that's awesome with the Raisa, not if it's only awesome with the Rabbanan, it's not really a Shaila. Because the Issa to do Menkach and Memkar on Shabbos is only with Rabbanan. But according to the opinions that just taught us, that even something that's only awesome with Rabbanon, we're not allowed to do, it's meaningless transaction. So how could any transaction that's done on Shabbos be valid? So the Taz differentiates. He says there's certain business transactions that are intrinsically, inherently invalid, such as Al Gemara. The Rabbanon said you can't do business with the deceased brother's assets. They're all designated for the ksuba. A transaction that's done on Shabbos, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that transaction. It's just the day that it was done. There we don't apply the concept of Kol Nusadam Rachmana Loi Savri Ovid Loi Mahani. The Tanya and Rabbi Yosef quoted what we just learned. Mi Shemes V'Nir Shemeres Yovim. If somebody died, a brother died leaving over Shemeres Yovim, V'Nir Nechasim Mei Money, he left over a huge fortune. Av Bishik Subasa En El Mona, it's a hundredth of the estate. The loch is Loi Yimkor Shekol Nechasim V'Kroyin L'Ksubasa. So therefore the deal that the brother made, that the Yavim made with his other brother, says Rabbi Yosef, is a meaningless deal. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, V'kol Heicha the Amar Rabbanan Loi Lisbon. Is it anywhere where the Torah says that a deal should not take place? Avgav the Loi Hava Zvini, Avgav the Zovin Loi Hava Zvini Zvini? Does it automatically disqualify any transaction? He says, let's go to the first mission of our Perek. But Tanan, we learned in our first Mishnah, if a woman is an Arusa, and she got Nechasim, we learned in our Mishnah, is she allowed to do business with those Nechasim Meloganat? Veshamai Mem Timker. Veshamai says, since she's not yet Nesua, she could sell those Nechasim Melog. Veshamai Mem, first Mishnah of our Perek, Loi Timker. She's not allowed to. She's already an Arusa. However, Beis Hillel agrees, Eilu Meidim, Shemachar V'Nos Nukayim. Even Beis Hillel agrees that B'di'evet, as we learned at the beginning of the Perek, if she did a transaction, it's acceptable. So we see that even though Chazal say don't do a transaction, B'di'evet it's acceptable. So how you say, so says Abayit Rabbi Yosef, yes, our Mishnah, And our brisa teach us that the Yavim should not do business with all of the assets that he inherited. They're all designated for the ksuba. But we see from our first Mishnah that sometimes, even if he did the wrong thing, it's acceptable. So we have this dispute between Abaye and Rabbi Yosef, and it was sent to Rav Chanina bar Papi for a psak. So Rav Chanina bar Papi agreed with Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye says, "Ot Rav Chanina bar Papi keep a talala." The Rav Chanina bar Papi put jewelry around it. This is a saying that means just because Rav Chanina bar Papi says that Rabbi Yosef is right, if he doesn't explain why he says Rabbi Yosef is right, doesn't mean that we have to accept it. Sholcha l'kamei d'Rav Menuni d'Rav Nechome. So then the Shal was sent to Rav Menuni d'Rav Nechmuni d'Chumi, Sholcha k'Abaye. He agreed with Abaye that the transaction is valid. However, the Omer Rabbi Yosef tamachrino Sholcha. He did add this caveat, that if Rabbi Yosef will be able to corroborate his psak, his ruling that the deal that was made between the Yavam and his brother, why it's not a valid deal, his raya from our Mishnah I don't accept, because we learned in another Mishnah that even a deal that shouldn't take place still has validity in halacha. If Rabbi Yosef is able to corroborate it, I want to hear. So now Rabbi Yosef, this is where we're going to end our shir, is left in a dilemma. Rabbi Yosef said a psak, Abaye questioned it, bringing a raya from the first Mishnah of our parak. And Rav Nechumi is also saying, I'm not so happy with psak, but maybe you could find something to back yourself up, and then I'm willing to consider. And that's what we'll start tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.